RTE2FM. It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
So that sound means one thing. It is sex and relationship therapy. Therapy time. Therapy time. So a little ears warning on this one. But remember, you can catch our podcast after the show with this chat in particular. And this week we are back talking about boundaries, because we have to. Because over the weekend, film star Jonah Hill's ex-girlfriend, Sarah Brady, she shared a load of text messages that Jonah sent her during their relationship, and the internet lost its freaking mind. So our resident sex and relationship expert, Rachel Cook, is here now just to talk about it. Hi, Rachel. How's things?
Hiya, Jen. Oh, therapy time it is. I love it.
Therapy time. It's one of those days. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm really glad that this has been talked about, because the internet has blown up over it, and I think it's actually really great that we're having conversations about it, because this sort of stuff is going on constantly, and I'm really glad that we're getting to be really clear about what's happening.
Can you give us a bit of background on the context of the messages and what they actually say, first of all?
Yeah, so this was basically a relationship between Jonah Hill and Sarah Brady last year. And she is a pro surfer and kind of model, as far as I know. And really need to bear in mind that she was 24 at the time and he was 38, 39. So there's, you know, a decade and a half in the difference between them. And they had been together for, I think, a number of months. And she has now shared, kind of a year after their relationship broke up, she has shared messages that he sent her at the time. And so basically they say things like, he has messaged her saying, plain and simple, if you need surfing with men, boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men, if you need to model, if you need to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, if you need friendships with women who are in unstable places, I am not the right partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it, and there'll be no hard feelings, but those are my boundaries for our romantic partnership. And my boundaries with you are based on the ways these actions have hurt our trust in the past. Anyway, so they go on, but it's basically a list of rules and demands that he has for the relationship, where at the same time he is saying, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to, but, you know, he is also saying you have to do X, Y, Z, or else I don't want to be with you.
Some people are saying that Jonah has just shared his boundaries for the relationship and Sarah could have just left him if she didn't like it. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so on the surface, absolutely. You know, we each have our kind of things that we want, our preferences in relationship. We're each going to have a set of boundaries that might be financially, sexually, you know, physically, in terms of our time, our energy, all sorts of things. Everybody should have boundaries. However, the issue here is that these are not boundaries. These are rules and ultimatums. And also, we have to bear in mind, this is a much older man with a huge amount of power. This is someone in her early 20s who, you know, is kind of up and coming in her own career. And she's having a very famous person who, you know, he has a lot of power. And so he's going to have a lot of influence that comes with that. Yes, of course, she's her own person, but someone that young, and also with the power dynamic of having an older man, a younger woman, you know, he's very established in his career. He knows a lot of people. There's going to be lots of reasons why she would be, you know, attracted to being in a relationship with him, or look up to him, or want to be around him. So it's just not as simple as saying, you know, oh, well, he just shared what his preferences are and what's right for him, because also he has actually misused the term boundaries here. You know, what he has done is he has used the word boundaries, and this person has had a lot of therapy. He had a Netflix show that came out, you know, only a few months ago. He's had therapy for years and years, and he is basically misusing, you know, the concepts of boundaries and self-respect in order to manipulate and control his partner and to reduce her sense of agency, which is really, really problematic.
Okay. So I have also seen other people, particularly men, saying that if the tables were turned with the genders, we wouldn't be batting an eyelid, which makes this a double standard. Do they have a point?
Yeah, so I can kind of see what people are saying with that, that, you know, so it seems in some parts of the world, it's quite normalized for women to say that their male partners can't have female friends and stuff like that, or that they shouldn't be, you know, liking other people's kind of sexy pictures on Instagram and stuff like this. And again, I think we have to look at the fact that, you know, men and women are not coming from an equal standpoint in terms of the history of power. You know, men have had epically more power in the past. Now, obviously, things are beginning to change and they have, you know, changed quite radically in certain areas of life and in certain cultures. But still, overall, you know, men's kind of experiences and positions in relationships are generally very much prioritized. And so, you know, I just don't think it's as simple as saying, you know, oh, well, if she had sent these messages, you know, everyone would be fine with it. Also, I just don't think that's the case. Most people I know would see it as absolutely, you know, completely bonkers and inappropriate to be saying that you're not allowed to be friends with people who you work with. And that, you know, we have to also bear in mind that this person, you know, Sarah Brady was already working as a surfer and a model when Jonah met her. It's not like she was working as, I don't know, you know, an accountant and then suddenly decided to start posting pictures of herself on Instagram in bikinis. You know, this was her job.
Yeah, can you just read out that line again? Do you have it handy there about her posting pictures of herself in bikinis?
Yeah, so what he said was, plain and simple, if you need to model, if you need to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, if you need to post sexual pictures, and if you need surfing with men or boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men, I am not the right partner for you.
Okay, yeah, he's definitely misusing therapy terms there. Absolutely. If you're in a relationship and your partner feels upset or threatened by pictures you put on social media, how do you both handle that in a healthy way?
Yeah, so the way to go about this is generally to, you know, express your feelings. Do, you know, most of us could do with a bit more skill around owning what, you know, are our feelings about something. So rather than criticizing, blaming, attacking the other person, partly because it's just not effective. Mostly when you just openly criticize someone else and say, you did that wrong. And, you know, if you add into that, you're, you know, a stupid person because of that. The person is very likely to become defensive, to withdraw, to become aggressive. Now, there are going to be times where you need to say something like, I saw that you posted those pictures. I felt really upset. Now, it may be because you, let's say, already have an agreement between you that you're not going to, let's say, post certain pictures or like certain, you know, photos of someone else. If that is an agreement that you have had, now, obviously, you have to look at the fact that it's not as simple as saying, right, we both agree to this and that's it, because there might be power dynamics in the relationship, a bit like we've seen between Jonah and Sarah, that will make it very difficult for the person with less power, less status, less life experience to really be able to kind of have an opinion and really feel comfortable with that. But in general, you know, if this is something that you've talked about, there isn't kind of coercive control going on and, you know, massive differentiation in power. If that's something that you've agreed and someone has overstepped that agreement or boundary that you've made, you can say, look, you know, I saw that you posted that picture. I felt really hurt and upset and insecure. And, you know, I'd really like to talk about it. You know, discuss it. Do your best to be non-defensive. You know, see if, you know, sometimes there's a misunderstanding. Sometimes it was that the person, you know, is actually angry about something else and they can apologize and go, yeah, look, that wasn't cool of me. I actually did that because of X, Y, Z. And you might need to have more conversations around that. You know, the issue here is not having preferences. It's using, you know, language to make it sound like you're having self-respect and that you're having, you know, a good sort of sense of self and healthy boundaries, when actually what you're doing is dictating other people's, you know, right to wear what they want to wear, to have friendships with who they want to have friendships with. You know, that is really what the problem is here. And that can be very blurry for people in relationships where, you know, maybe you grew up with very poor boundaries or communication, you know, in your own family. You know, there might have been a lot of deception, lying, not talking about things, or shifting boundaries. That's another thing that's really common, where one thing is said, but another thing is kind of behaved behaved or acted out. And so, you know, most of us struggle with boundaries and communication to some degree, but this one is just a pretty hard line.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at the text messages and all the flowery language and these are my boundaries and all that kind of, if you just break it down, what is he actually saying in the text? He's saying, I don't want you to have other male friends. I don't want you to model. I don't want you to post pictures on yourself online. I don't want you to do anything. Basically, do everything that you've been doing up to this point. And it is, if you can decipher through all the flurry language and text that he put to her. What do you think about Sarah waiting so long to share this information? And why didn't she talk about it when it happened?
Yeah, so I've seen a few things that I found really shocking. A lot of quite a lot of people talking about how they think it was really manipulative of her to wait a whole year. And Jonah Hill has just had a baby with someone else who's also in their early 20s, from what I can tell, which again feels like, right, this is a man who's almost 40. What is he doing with that much power and status dating women? You know, our brains don't even fully develop until we're approximately 25. You know, I just think this is something that, you know, some people will say is ageist, but I am not saying that it's specifically about the age gap. If someone is 40 and the other person's 50, fine. We've got, you know, much more life experience going on there. Mm-hmm. But if you've got people who are in their late teens and early 20s dating people who are 10 or more years older, it's just not appropriate. But I've gone off the topic. What did you ask me, Jen?
I asked you, why do you think it's taken her so long? Like people are saying, oh, why didn't she talk about this when it happened? Why is she coming out now? He's moved on. He's with someone else.
Exactly. So loads of people have said that they think it's manipulative of Sarah to have waited a year and waited until he's just had a baby with someone else. Why didn't she say it sooner? Number one, it often takes people weeks, months, years, decades to really come to the realization that they were in an abusive relationship. And what this constitutes is emotional abuse. You know, it's possessive, controlling behavior. And so people often are embarrassed to admit to themselves and to acknowledge to other people that they allowed themselves, you know, or that they managed to end up in a relationship like that, because often it's something that slides over time. You don't see the signs to begin with. People like this, you know, often I would say Jonah Hill has not sat there twiddling his thumbs, thinking about how he's going to make Sarah Brady's life a misery, you know, when they were together. He's not sitting there thinking that he's being controlling. He probably genuinely believes that he was having healthy boundaries, you know, and that he recognized that he felt very insecure. And so he just felt like that was what he needed in order to have the relationship that he wanted. So I don't think he's sitting there in a really Machiavellian, evil, villainous way. But, you know, it's takes a lot of time for survivors of abuse often to recognize what's happened to them, to go and get support. And then you have the fact that, you know, Jonah Hill is a big public figure. There's the possibility of Sarah being cancelled, of her being villainized. She already has been. You know, lots of people are saying that she is either lying or that she has, you know, gotten this wrong, that she's making a mountain out of a molehill, all of these kinds of things. You know, she's being gaslit online by people saying that Jonah hasn't done anything wrong. So that's another reason that people are very, very unlikely to come out with stuff like this, because often, again, I don't think that she's necessarily, now she may feel vitriolic, she may feel angry towards him and, you know, she may feel vengeful on some level. But I also very strongly get the sense that she wants to help protect other women, and not just women, all people, from being in, you know, abusive relationships. And that takes a lot of courage, and she's getting a lot of flack for it. So I'm not surprised. She must be already completely overwhelmed and exhausted with the response to this.
For anyone listening who thinks they might be in a controlling or emotionally abusive relationship, what are the top three red flags to look out for?
Yeah, so there's loads of them, but I would say, you know, probably the top ones are someone who really ignores your boundaries or kind of shifts their own boundaries regularly. Then you have things like jealous, possessive, controlling behavior. That I would say is a massive red flag. You know, most of us will experience some jealousy and insecurity, but it's about how that is communicated and how the person behaves around their feelings of insecurity and jealousy. And then the third one I would say is Probably, you know, the third top one I'm guessing is really like about gaslighting and making you doubt yourself. You know, if you are finding, because you've got the top three signs, that's the top three, I would say, red flags of someone else. But you also have the top three red flags in yourself to recognize that you are probably in a controlling relationship or abusive relationship. You know, if you're feeling very confused and foggy, you're doubting yourself a lot, you're experiencing a lot of guilt and anxiety in the relationship, you're walking on eggshells and you feel like you don't have opinions or you're not able to have opinions, those are the signs that you're in an emotionally abusive relationship.
If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right.
Am I right? You're right. Now, the other, I would say though, you know, some because lots of people have grown up in relationship in households where there may have been elements of, you know, control, possessiveness, emotional abuse, you know, particularly, you know, it's been in the past very common for men to communicate in this way because they haven't been socialized to be given the, you know, emotional skills to manage their relationships better. You know, many of us will feel that being in an emotionally abusive relationship is familiar to us. So it may actually feel right, which is why it can be very confusing. But parts of you will be telling you, look, it's not okay to constantly feel like you're walking on eggshells, doubting yourself, feeling very confused. So I would say, you know, really seek support, get your friends and family
and talk to friends. Absolutely no shame in it. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us again this morning. As always, a pleasure. That is Rachel Cook. She's a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She's on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook. She's with us every Wednesday around this time to talk things relationshipy and sex as well. If there's anything you would like her to delve into, get in touch with the show. You can email me jen@rte.ie.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.